Frustration level continues to rise as the government shutdown continues. I know he's frustrated as well. Congressman Paul Mitchell online with us right now. Congressman, good morning.
Good morning, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing well. What is your frustration level with this shutdown at this point?
Oh, there's a level of stupidity and childishness of this that exceeds all believable levels. I mean, you know, if we spent 338 hours, more than that now, on bills that have no chance of passing the Senate, the president won't sign. If they took 10% of that time and the five principals got in a room, closed the door, and no one came out until they solved this problem, until they came to terms, the world would be a far better place. Literally, spend 30 hours, no one goes home. I mean, we'd be in a better place. We spent over 330 hours doing this.
So why won't they? I mean, why
repeat the same thing?
Yeah, I mean, why can't they all get in the room and talk? I mean, they tried that a couple weeks ago. The president walked out.
Well, the president walked out when he said he'd reopen the government if Nancy would agree to then, you know, open, fund all or part of a border package, including a wall or a barrier, whatever you want to call it, short of a moat. And Nancy said, no, absolutely not. Under no circumstances would she provide $1. Yeah. Now, you have to understand, we're arguing about one half of 1% of discretionary spending on an annual basis. Think mm-hmm. about that. And that's what we've come down to. And I think it's politics. It's the 2020 election started already, unfortunately, for America. And it's punched Trump in the nose. And I admit it's now punched Nancy back. And at some point in time, adults have got to get this problem solved.
Yeah. The State of the Union, the president last night said that he will wait until the government is reopened to do the State of the Union. You think that's the right decision?
Yeah, I think it's the honorable thing to do. I had talked with top people at the White House about alternatives. I come up with some ideas for alternatives to have it to what I propose is you have it literally in another location and use it to raise money for furloughed workers. But he had to make sure to maintain the decorum of a State of the Union, that it's not a rally, it's not something else. That's the problem in doing it off-site, however, is making sure that you do maintain the kind of decorum that's so important for history in the State of the Union. So I think it's the right decision. It's unfortunate we've come to that. I think, again, it's another act of childishness, but at some point in time, I've considered whether or not we simply get enough Democrats to join. And we refuse a quorum on the floor of the House until such time as they come to a resolution. And we're at least honest with the American people that nothing is being done in Congress right now. Literally nothing is being done while people play politics.
Well, and that's what's so frustrating to, you know, like I said, to you, to Democrats, to the American people, and especially to those 800,000 workers that aren't getting paid, and many of them in your own district. As you know, we've needed the Coast Guard desperately this last week to break up ice on the St. Clair River, and they've done it, and they're not going to get paid until the government reopens. What do you say to those workers?
Well, you know, we tried to pass an amendment on one of the bills that the Democrats put forward yesterday. We tried one last week. We tried this week that would have authorized money to pay all workers furloughed, whether they were working or whether they were required to work, they were deemed necessary to work, to pay them, just to keep them paid. We had 10 Democrats join us on that. If we'd had 8 more Democrats, we would have, in fact, funded paying these workers, the ones who were furloughed, the ones who have to work and aren't getting paid, until such time as this issue settles. We could take that issue off the, and it's unfair. And my dad works in the auto plants. I mean, even back in the day when the layoffs were frequent, I remember being laid off. I remember getting food stamps. I remember getting surplus cheese. I mean, the reality is it's not fair to people that you do this to them, and we could have paid them. We could have resolved this issue yesterday, but to give you an idea of the extent of politics of it, the majority of the Democrats refuse to do that because they want to keep them in play. Now, think about that.
Well, I mean, don't you think that both sides are to blame? I mean, you get to say that the Democrats are to blame, and then the Democrats get to say that the Republicans are to blame. And, you know, here we are on day 37 of the, or whatever it is, of the government shutdown. I mean, both sides are pointing fingers, and nothing's getting done.
Well, you know, you mentioned the president when he walked out of the meeting with the Speaker and Minority Leader Chuck Schumer. And the president said at that point in time, if he agrees to open the government, sign a continuing resolution, will she proceed with funding the wall? The answer was no. So the reality is, even when offering to give the speaker what she wanted, she still wouldn't consider literally funding all or part of border barrier. At some point in time, I agree with you, but even when that is offered, it's still no. At some point, you know, it's like many other things, like collective bargaining, you know, where we live, we see it all the time. You deal with all the issues that all parties put on the table. You can't say, I'm not going to talk about that one. Sorry. Now, you mean I'll be happy with the deal that comes out? Generally, no one's happy in any negotiation with 100% of how it worked out. But you work out terms so you can move forward. This is just a gridlock because of egos.
It really is. I feel like we need a mediator in the room, somebody that can, you know, help mediate these talks, because the way it's going now, it's it is a stalemate with no end in sight.
Either that or a big club. But let me give you you mentioned something about let me give you something, a quote out of the Washington Post from January 19th over the weekend. I think it kind of catches. Now, the Washington Post isn't exactly a conservative bastion these days. They said, Mr. Trump's offer should be welcomed but not accepted as the final word. And it ends with, but to refuse to even talk until the government reopens does no favors to federal workers and contractors. They're right.
Yeah.
It is another offer. There's been specific offers made by the administration, by the president. He's made them specifically himself, so no one can say he's not prepared to live with them. People ought to come in the room, sit down with the package that's there. Things have been added to it. The second discussion the president over the weekend when he did his presentation was about adding in protection for DACA and people with temporary protective status for 3 years so we could deal with how we fix that system. That still wasn't acceptable. So the question ultimately is, what is acceptable that will address what the president says he needs to address as well, because all parties have to get their issues resolved or addressed. And I've dealt with this before in my life, not in other negotiations, not obviously this. And adults solve these problems.
Yeah. I feel like the news cycle is coming at us like a fire hose. I mean, this almost already seems like old news, and it was less than a week ago. But BuzzFeed last week reported that President Trump directed his former attorney, Michael Cohen, to lie to Congress. And that made the rounds for most of the day on Friday. And by the end of the day, special counsel Robert Mueller refuted it and said that it was not an accurate report. But if it were accurate, if it were proven to be accurate, is that something the president could be impeached for?
Well, first, I try not to get in conjecture. Let me suggest that I give Mueller credit for recognizing the destructive kind of things that happen when those rumors are allowed to become, seem to be fact, when one media outlet reports something, you go, oh my God, and then you find out it's patently false. I mean, I give him credit for stopping that train early. If a president of the United States, it's been documented before, it was documented with Nixon, tells people a lie, participates in obstruction of justice, and in fact, it is an impeachable offense. No one's demonstrated that's the case, and this with Mr. Cohen or anybody else. There's a lot of conjecture, obviously. Lord knows the world lives on it. And given all the various news, I use news loosely, by the way, Paul, sources that some have. I mean, BuzzFeed is one. It's like, if we can't find news, we'll make it up, apparently.
Michael Cohen was supposed to testify before Congress in a couple of weeks, and he said yesterday he is not going to do that to protect his family. He feels that President Trump and Trump's current attorney, Rudy Giuliani, are making not so veiled threats toward his family. Are you disappointed that Michael Cohen's not going to testify before Congress before he goes to prison?
I don't think to be honest with you, the threat issue, I acknowledge what he's talking about, and you know, the sky is falling, according to Mr. Cohen. But the reality is, I don't think Mr. Cohen should have ever agreed to testify, been called to testify until the Mueller investigation is over. It's not over yet. He spent God knows how long, before the grand jury, talking with Mueller, finish that investigation. Then if Mr. Cohen believes he has things he wants to offer, get off his chest, then, you know, they can schedule him to testify. They can go do send investigators or to his location if he is in prison. It's really interesting. When you're younger, you get yourself in trouble, and generally your parents don't say, "Hey, if I also tell you dirt on someone else, is it less trouble?" Now it's, but when you're older, it's like you want to dump on somebody else because you conducted yourself badly. Let's not lose track of the fact that Mr. Cohen is a felon.
the Mueller investigation can't wrap up soon enough, I think everybody agrees, because, I mean, it really is, isn't there going to be, regardless of what comes out of it, regardless of what is proven, you know, or what the Mueller investigation says, I mean, it feels like, you know, it's going to take that to create some sense of relief, I think, in Washington and across the nation.
I'd like to agree with you and think that would, the Mueller investigation will end, if I were a betting man, it will end and satisfy no one. There will be people in various political places on the spectrum that will say it didn't do that, it didn't do this, it did that and protected this, and it will still leave in our electoral cycle, in our political environment, people saying it wasn't good enough, it didn't do the right thing, it cheated, you know, all the other things, and we'll still have a lot of drama about the Mueller report after the Mueller report's out. We should talk about it once out and watch what happens, but I'm willing to bet you that it will still be, doesn't satisfy a whole lot of people on the right and the left, trust me.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. In the meantime, if you were a betting man, what would you bet on the government reopening anytime soon? I heard a report today that said the White House is preparing for another 2 to 3 months of this shutdown. What do you think?
I think it's prudent in government, business, always to prepare for what the future may be. So the fact that they're thinking about what happens if this lasts longer is at least reassuring that they're not sitting there, you know, with their hands wringing, doing nothing. I hope that the Senate will. The question comes down to whether the Senate will move something that works, and that the president will endorse at that point in time if they can. I believe in the House, we can probably put together a mix of people to pass it. There's a great deal of concern that we can't leave it sit like this on both sides of the aisle. Democrats are talking to me about it, friends of mine. So we need something that there's confidence that the Senate can pass. And you know how difficult it is over there with the 60 vote issue that the president will sign. I think at that point in time, we'll be able to get enough Republicans and Democrats together to pass something, despite all the political overtones.
Yeah, we sure hope so. We always appreciate your time, Congressman, and thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, it's always good to talk to you, and I hope in the near future, Paul, we get to talk about something other than shutdown. Pick a topic. I don't know, Pelicans, you know.
Yeah,
the Pistons. I don't know.
I agree. Maybe we'll do that one of these days. Maybe we'll talk about the Super Bowl in a couple weeks. How about that?
The Super Bowl. There's a topic we talk about. Whether Tom Brady, if he wins, should retire. I mean, that's a discussion we could have.
Absolutely.
Well,
thanks a lot.
All
Paul.
The best, Paul.
All right, take care.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.